home, especially in today's market, is one of the biggest decisions you'll make for your family. Work with a mortgage company that puts you first. I do. Work with a lender founded on biblical principles like do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. I do. It's Mike Gallagher for the only mortgage company I've used for almost a decade now when financing or refinancing Fellowship Home Loans. I'm friends with the owners, Mike and Brian. I even have them on my show occasionally. I know the care their team puts into every single customer. I can personally tell you that it's a smooth, stress-free process. And that's due to Fellowship's level of service and expertise that puts you in the right loan for your family and your goals. There's a reason Fellowship Home Loans is flooded with five-star reviews. Whether purchasing a home or a cash-out refi to consolidate some higher interest debt, you can trust Fellowship Home Loans. Start the process. Make the call. 800-510-MIKE. 800-510-MIKE. 800-510-6453. Fellowship Home Loans. Mortgage lending by the book.
Nationwide Mortgage Bankers. Equal housing lender. NMLS number 819382.
Good morning. It's 1103. I'm Maggie Hunter with the latest headlines from the WCBM Maryland News Center, brought to you by Safe Retirement Solutions. The city of Annapolis is unveiling two new e-buses at a ribbon-cutting ceremony today. The buses, which are 100% electric, will replace two existing diesel buses that have reached the end of their service life. The city says the electric buses are a game changer for cleaner, greener, and quieter public transit. The new e-buses were purchased with federal, state, and county grant funds. And Attorney General Anthony Brown and a bipartisan group of counterparts are backing federal legislation that would allow states to deploy cell phone jamming systems in prisons. Brown says the measure aims to disrupt an inmate's ability to orchestrate crimes from behind bars using smuggled cell phones. He says in Maryland and other states, correctional officers and law enforcement are fighting a growing battle against the illicit communications, and every tool available is needed to shut them down. Stein on Sports and the exclusive WCBM Weather Channel forecast next.
WCBM News is brought to you by Safe Retirement Solutions. Call Rod Barowie at 410-266-1120. Call Rod Barowie now at Safe Retirement Solutions, 410-266-1120.
My name's Danny Manoff, and I am the president and CEO of Intrepid Paralegal Solutions, LLC. We're a unique company that helps attorneys run their practices more efficiently as certified Clio partners. And more importantly, we also help the average person that can't afford or doesn't want to use an attorney to deal with their legal issues. If you're a pro se litigant, we always feel you should seek counsel, but if you want to proceed with the help of experts, please be in touch. IPSvirtual.com. Thank you again.
Rapid Radios are instant push-to-talk walkie-talkies offering national LTE coverage and no subscriptions ever. A great alternative to a mobile phone for your kids. For a limited time, go to rapidradios.com now for 60% off and free UPS shipping. Add code radio and get an extra 5% off.
Now, Gary Stein on sports.
Orioles and Blue Jays kick off 2025 this afternoon in Toronto. An interesting subplot is the team's two right fielders. Free agent acquisition Tyler O'Neill in an Oriole uniform. Former Oriole Anthony Santander in a Blue Jay uni. Here was O'Neill in the offseason talking about joining the Birds.
Playing in the AL East throughout the year, obviously they were a tough opponent all year. You know, they can hit, they got really good starters, the bullpen's locked down.
Some interesting numbers. First off, O'Neill holds the MLB record for most consecutive opening days with home runs. That's five and counting. Second, 31 dingers a year ago and just 411 at-bats. Among all players with 30 or more home runs a year ago, only two had more home runs per at-bat. That's Shohei Ohtani and Aaron Judge. O'Neill was tied for third. And guess who he was tied with? Anthony Santander. Maryland basketball tonight at 7:39 p.m. Sweet 16 match against top seed Florida. Derek Queen's comment going viral.
So I think I'm from Baltimore, that's why.
And it made the rounds on the Pat McAfee podcast the other day. Guest was LeBron James. McAfee asking the King if he had heard the comments.
Yeah, I'm from Baltimore.
Yeah, that is absolutely fantastic.
I'm from Baltimore. One of my best friends from Baltimore, Carmelo Anthony, so I get it. I get it. I get it. Give me the damn ball, and he wanted the ball.
That's what I told him in the conversation. I was like, Baltimore is one of the cities where if you give an answer on why are you a confident human, I'm from Baltimore. Everybody's like, oh, okay.
There's no follow-up question to that.
Okay, got it. I got it.
Coming up in 30 minutes, a shout-out to the Baltimore Touchdown Club. And that is Stein on Sports.
WCBM reaches all types of entrepreneurs, businesses, associations, and specialists. Now is your chance to explain live, by the way of your own radio show, exactly how your business or association can benefit the WCBM listener through your own show. You control the dialogue. You control the subject matter. You control your own results. This is a great opportunity that WCBM can give to you. For more information, call Andy Grimshaw or visit WCBM.com.
At 11:07, here's the exclusive WCBM Weather Channel forecast.
Temperatures getting warmer, sunny and near 60 today. Tomorrow, just a few showers in the afternoon, 67 the high. Saturday, it's like summertime shows up. Some clouds, but dry, 82 Saturday. I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Currently 42 degrees in Bel Air, 46 in Halethorpe, and 44 in Columbia. I'm Maggie Hunter, 680 WCBM News.
Stay connected and informed.
Everybody, listen carefully.
Download the WCBM 680 mobile app at WCBM.com. Kim Klasick Live starts now on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Happy Thursday. Look, tomorrow is Friday. If you were to sit in the traffic this morning, you've got one more day of that nonsense. And you know what? I will say, Fridays usually are fine. Usually there are no big traffic buildups and all that jazz on Fridays. So, you know what? Let's just pretend it's Friday today. It's Thursday, but we'll pretend. I got lots to talk about, and if you're just joining us, I got to ask you, where the heck have you been? We were discussing what's been going on in Annapolis. We were joined earlier by Delegate Brian Chisholm, and he was filling us in on the Democrat-on-Democrat catfight that occurred in Annapolis. Yes, that's right. You had a Democrat that tried to stand up for her constituents, and she was slapped down by the other Democrats in the room. How dare you side with the voter? It's all about what we want. Also, we are going to be joined at 11:35 by Delegate Nino Mangione. He's going to talk to us about NPRP and also the bill in which he tried to advance to protect students in public schools. Unfortunately, that was shot down in committee by Delegate Vanessa Atterbury. And I do believe he made some comments to Fox 45 letting them know that he's going to change some language so he can reintroduce that bill next session. So we'll ask him what that looks like. Again, that's at 11:35. Also, before the break, we were talking about Governor Westmore, you know, the delegates, and even the state senators in Annapolis that are on the left and that seem to have certain agendas in mind. And, of course, we've been tracing that back to money, and we had a caller by the name of Vicky. And Vicky, she said, Kim, you know what? I think I remember seeing something where Senate President Bill Ferguson was hired by a solar energy firm. And she was absolutely correct in that. She did not dream it. It was not a nightmare, even though it is a nightmare for us now. But he was hired by CI Renewables. Now, I continued to dig on their website, and I am going to move on. I'm not going to stay on this too long, but I just wanted to bring this to you. On their website, it says on June 19th, 2024, there is a newsletter that went out, and it says here that the Maryland Senate President Bill Ferguson has taken a job with a Baltimore-based solar power energy company, a move he believes can give him valuable energy expertise as the state moves from reliance on fossil fuels to renewable energy future. So, yes, CI Renewables has hired Senator Bill Ferguson, which isn't illegal, by the way, because remember, a lot of these state senators and delegates, they're only there for 90 days, and they cannot possibly live off of the salary that they make as a delegate or state senator. So many of them do have other jobs. So this is Senator Bill Ferguson's other job. But you would think there's a conflict of interest here because he's one of those individuals that's pushing for this big climate initiative that's going to cost the state $1 billion. He's all about these solar panels. And as he's working with CI Renewables, he's making sure that's reflected in the budget and the policies that we see in Annapolis. You would think that there would be a law against such, right? You would think. But it doesn't look like there is. Now, Senator Bill Ferguson's salary is listed here. For 2024 alone, looks like he's making $70,000 a year from CI Renewables, which, you know, is, you know, a regular job, right? I mean, look, we know he's not there for 90 days of it. It's not a bad salary, right? But not only that, you know, the decisions that are made in Annapolis, I wonder if he's getting commission, if there's ways for him to get kickbacks. I'm sure there are. I'm not going to say that, you know, definitively, because I don't know for sure. But why else would you take such a position? He's saying it's because it'll make him more of an expert. I mean, go back to school if you want to. You know what I mean? You want to be an expert on some of this, you know, solar power. I mean, go take a class. I know. What are you talking about? That's why I was hired, because I'll have an expertise. No, you won't. No, you won't. But this is what they sell to us, right? So, Vicki, again, thank you for calling in with that tip. You're absolutely correct and spot on. CI Renewables, State Senator Ferguson works for CI Renewables, and that just happened June of last year. Lucky us. I do have a text here from Carl. Carl says, Kim, have you ever met Representative Brandon Gill from the state of Texas? I have, actually. Carl says, the reason I'm asking is that he completely annihilated the NPR CEO, Catherine Marr, during yesterday's congressional hearings involving NPR and PBS. Yes, I saw that, Carl. I was thinking about including that clip to play for you today. It was a bit on the longer side, so I didn't want to do that to producer Brian. But the clip that I saw, yes, he did a great job. And from what I could tell, the NPR CEO that Carl's referring to here, she had some comments in 2020 that were pretty insane. And remember, NPR and PBS, they were getting funding from that USAID fund. And that's why they were in front of Congress yesterday answering some questions. But Congressman Brandon Gill, which you're right, he's married to Danielle D'Souza, now Danielle Gill, which is Dinesh D'Souza's daughter. He basically took the CEO's tweets and read them back to her so that she could answer for them, right? You know, CEO of NPR. So he read them aloud. Now, meanwhile, these tweets are just from 2020. And it said where she believed that white supremacy was alive and well. She believed white people should feel guilty about being white. She believed that reparations were necessary. And so he's reading these tweets that she posted back to her. And he said, wait a minute, is this how you feel while you're receiving my tax dollars over there at NPR? And she said, well, my thoughts have evolved since then, is what she said. It was like yesterday. I was like, he goes, well, no, look, this is in 2020. This is in 2021. So, Carl, yes, thank you. I did see that. If anybody wants to go check it out, Representative Brandon Gill, hopefully we can get him on the show one time. He is in Texas. And, yes, he and Danielle D'Souza, now Danielle D'Souza Gill, they have a cute little baby they just had not too long ago. But he's doing a fantastic job. I met him, obviously, before he took office. This is his first year in Congress, but I met him at Mar-a-Lago, and I can't remember exactly what event it was, but it was something for Dinesh D'Souza. It wasn't the Mules movie. It was before that. You know what? It'll come to me. It'll come to me. But yes, very nice family. Also, a little surprise. I don't know if it's a surprise, but tomorrow I will be on CNN with Abby Phillips for her show at 10 p.m. And this will be my big debut, and I'm excited about it. I never, ever, ever get to debate Democrats. And here I will sit on that panel. I believe I will be with Scott Jennings. Don't quote me on that. But I believe Scott Jennings is the other Republican at the table. But I will be there in New York tomorrow at CNN for the 10 o'clock show. And so I haven't told my mom yet. My mom likes to watch Abby Phillips. And she absolutely loves my friend Shermichael Singleton. And she always asks me, why can't you be more like Shermichael? He doesn't get loud. He's so nice and sweet. And yes, he has his little facts, but he says it so nicely. So I haven't told her yet, but she watches Abby Phillips like almost every night. So the big surprise is for Olivia to FaceTime her. That's why Olivia will be with me tomorrow, actually, because we're going to take the train up. Olivia will FaceTime her from the CNN green room and say, "Hello, Nana. Guess where I am?" And then, and so she'll surprise her that that we'll be up there. And then on Saturday, we're going to go visit the Statue of Liberty. I'm taking Olivia over there. So we'll take the ferry, and it should be a good time. So I'm excited about that. Very excited. Well, anyway, so yes, if you could, tune in to CNN. I know it sounds crazy to even say that. Tune in to CNN at 10 p.m. tomorrow evening. Hopefully, I will not let you down, and I'll have a great performance. Also, really quickly here, I wanted to just bring to you, of course, this is in my backyard. There are going to be some changes at Martin State Airport. If you haven't heard, the Air Force has decided to cut the A-10s. And these are the planes that you usually see there at Martin State Airport. And it's a little bit of controversy with it. Of course, the Air Force is saying, well, it's a cost issue. They want to kind of update things with cybersecurity. Some people are saying, you know, it's a little out of date and all this other stuff. But, of course, there are a lot of people that believe that the A-10s should be protected there at Martin State Airport. But I do have some sound here from Channel 11 because there's mixed reactions from leaders on both sides of the aisle. But regardless, you know, if you're in the Martin State Airport area like I am, it's going to be a big change because you're used to driving by and seeing these warthogs. So take a listen.
Many believe this decision is a rush to failure. The 175th Wing is more than a tradition. Military officials consider it a critical component of our national security. The warthog, described by combat troops as the most distinguished, effective, and lethal support weapon in a war zone, is now taking off for good from Martin State Airport. The Air Force retirement of the A-10 started Wednesday morning and will be completed by September. The aircraft will be retired in a boneyard at an Air Force base in Arizona. The U.S. Air Force wants to convert the mission to a cyber wing. 500 jobs are in the crosshairs.
For many of them, they're going to either have to retrain to another profession within the Guard, if they, you know, if we get a cyber wing there, or to maintain that job that they like, you're going to have to move to a different unit.
The A-10s have been based at Martin's for more than 40 years, piloted by the 175th Wing of the Maryland Air National Guard. The planes are built for combat. They take out tanks and armored vehicles. Former chief of the U.S. National Guard Bureau, retired Lieutenant General Steve Bloom, calls retiring the A-10 a big mistake. In my view, this is a short-sighted, ill-advised decision if left as is. I urge the governor and federal elected officials to request a stay on this decision until it's reevaluated by the current leadership.
Our goal is to maintain a flying wing here. Every state does have a flying wing. They should maintain it. This will make us one of the first states to not have one.
The state is still making improvements to Martin State Airport's runway. That $32 million plan includes extending the runway to 8,100 feet, lowering wires and clearing trees. It'll be finished in July 2026. According to military sources, the decision was made in a vacuum and under false assumptions. Local officials were not consulted. David Collins, TV 11 News.
And like I said, there's a little bit of controversy there, and I could see why. I could see why. These are the changes that are coming to Martin State Airport, just in case you were wondering why you would no longer see the warthogs there. And I've been living in the area now for about 11, maybe 12 years. So, of course, we're used to seeing them because that's right in my backyard there. So it'll be a big change for sure. I did wonder, and I didn't get a chance to see this in the report, but I did wonder, are they going to be making some changes elsewhere on that base? Because, you know, when you're thinking about the fact that they said they are going to try to, revitalize even the runway and do some other work there. They have the museum that's right there as well. And I just wonder if this is going, you know, what they're going to do there. Because I recall, and I could be wrong, but I recall us having a conversation before about the museum not getting enough foot traffic. I don't know. I will ask questions, though. I will ask questions. All right, coming up next, there is a controversial endorsement from President Trump. We have Delegate Nino Mangione. He's going to be visiting with us at 11:35 a.m. And then the Signal app mishap. That drama continues. I do have some audio here from Advisor Mike Waltz. Here's the thing, real quick, before we go to the break. Marjorie Taylor Greene, I think she made the best comment out of all of this. because I see there are a lot of Republicans doing their best to defend the situation. Marjorie Taylor Greene said having that conversation in which they had and how they were able to add a journalist on accident, it was very sloppy. And she's right. It's very sloppy. I would not defend this. I don't know why Republicans are defending this. Those kind of conversations, whether classified or not, they shouldn't be happening on the Signal app. We have government servers for a reason. All right, we'll discuss that coming up next.
Hi, it's Bruce Elliott joining me in studio once again. Melissa Sayev, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. You're here from AAI Audiology. All right, let's start this off. What can the ear tell us about other parts of our body?
So when you come into our office, we always do a really thorough evaluation, testing everything from the eardrum down to the nerve. And that way we can really kind of identify the part of the ear that's causing a problem. And that can give us a lot of information. So we have three parts of our ear, outer, middle, and inner, and all three can cause hearing loss and different types of hearing loss. But the configuration of the hearing loss we find also can give us quite a bit of information. So, for example, a low-frequency hearing loss might be related to certain diseases or pathologies that can occur in the ear. It can also be a problem with blood flow, especially if someone is complaining of pulsatile tinnitus or like hearing your pulse in your ears. That is always a concern, and we kind of immediately assess the carotid artery and make sure that everything there is okay. That's usually a big concern when we hear that word pulsatile or I hear my pulse in the ear. Also, we have just regular tinnitus, and we always want to make sure that if that is occurring, it's ear-related and not occurring because of medication or something more dangerous or harmful in the ear or in the brain that is exhibiting as tinnitus. So we always kind of want to do a thorough evaluation where we look at both ears, the outer, middle, and inner ear, and then that can help us really determine if there's something else in the body we should be concerned with.
And how often should these kinds of checks be done?
I mean, I think when we always get our eyes tested, we get our teeth cleaned, and no one really remembers the ear, especially as we age. And I think like around our 40s to 50s, we start to notice difficulty in background noise. Things need to be a little bit louder. And when that starts to happen, it's really worth coming in for a baseline so we can determine if things will get worse and how fast and if there's something that we need to be concerned with.
AAIAudiology.com, 410-944-3100. When silence is not golden, those are the folks you want to see.
Retirement, it's almost here. Are you ready? Join Mike DePaula and Sarah Flora of Flora and DePaula Wealth Partners for SWAT, Retirement Strategy Hour, Saturdays at 2 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Investment advisory services made available through AE Wealth Management LLC, a registered investment advisor.
Red Eye Radio is live.
Gary and Eric, the way you so beautifully express your anger and frustration, you serve like a substitute relief valve for my own anger and frustration and outrage.
Gary McNamara and Eric Harley take your calls all night. Politics, breaking news, and more on Red Eye Radio.
Red Eye Radio is on every morning from 1 to 5 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right. Hopefully you guys are having a great day. And I hear the weather is getting a little bit nicer outside. So if you haven't been outside, you go out just a little bit and enjoy. Real quick, the question of the day is still up. If you haven't partaked in the poll just yet, please go to WCVM.com. It's brought to you by Renovation Real Estate. Do you think the Maryland State Senate will pass the budget as is? So far, 25% of you say no. They'll make some amendments or changes. And 75% of you say yes. This is going to be interesting to see. Doug and Brian Chisholm, as he joined us earlier, he said he believed the Senate will make some changes. But there are a lot of people that believe they won't make any changes because, of course, they still have to please the teachers union. They still have to please all these other special interest groups. I would guess like CI Renewables. Again, great catch there from our friend Vicky in Brooklyn Park. I had no idea that Senator Bill Ferguson was hired by CI Renewables last summer. But I'm glad to know that now. And so now I'll be watching very closely to what he says as they introduce the final budget from the Senate. Again, when it comes to the Signal app mishap, that's what I'm calling it, there were some screenshots that were provided by the journalist, Mr. Goldberg, that was somehow, some way, accidentally added to this chat on Signal. And so I had a feeling he was going to do this because if you recall, when all of this came out, and that is that there was a chat, Mr. Goldberg from The Atlantic said that there were war plans, and he believes some of the information should have been classified material that was included in this chat. And he said some of that came from conversations had by Pete Hegseth. And so you had Tulsi Gabbard and others say that there wasn't any classified material there. And then, of course, Mr. Greenberg provided screenshots. Take a listen to what Mike Waltz had to say about all of this.
Success after success. So they want to focus on this. It's embarrassing, yes. We're going to get to the bottom of it. I just talked to Elon on the way here. We've got the best technical minds looking at how this happened. But I can tell you for 100%, I don't know this guy. I know him by his horrible reputation, and he really is the bottom scum of journalists. And I know him in the sense that he hates the president, but I don't text him. He wasn't on my phone. And we're going to figure out how this happened.
So you don't know what staffer is responsible for this right now?
Well, look, a staffer wasn't responsible. And look, I take full responsibility. I built the group. My job is to make sure everything's coordinated.
But how did the execute number? I don't mean to be pedantic here, but how did the number?
Have you ever had somebody's contact that shows their name, and then you have somebody else's number there?
Oh, I never make those mistakes.
Right? You got somebody else's number on someone else's contact. So of course I didn't see this loser in the group. It looked like someone else. Now whether he did it deliberately or it happened in some other technical mean is something we're trying to figure out.
Okay, so that was Mike Waltz sitting there with, obviously, Laura Ingraham on Fox News. So like I said, I've been on Signal app. I know exactly how it works. And now Mike Waltz is saying he doesn't know how he was added. He believes that perhaps Mr. Greenberg had changed his name. This is what he's saying in that clip. He changed his name so that, you know, people, when they saw his name pop up, they would think that he was someone else. I'm not sure I'm buying that, unfortunately. Now, the screenshots did show, just so you guys know, they did show what was written in this Signal app chat. There were types of missiles that were used, and just so you know, there wasn't anything as far as location or targets that were mentioned. And so I think when Tulsi Gabbard said there was no classified information there, I mean, technically, they're probably right about that. But it had to be somewhat of a secret conversation for it to be on Signal to begin with. So I'm pretty sure there's going to be a full investigation into this. We'll continue to talk about this when we get back, but we will also be joined at that time by Delegate Nino Mangione. We've got questions for him. I just wish they would have came out and said, you know what, it was a big mistake. It'll never happen again. Now they're kind of like explaining just a little too much for me on this app situation. All right, so much more coming up next.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. In a major overhaul, the Department of Health and Human Services will be laying off 10,000 workers, shutting down entire divisions, including ones that oversee billions in funds for addiction services and community health centers around the country. Attorney General Bondi and FBI Director Patel were on hand, witnessing this morning's arrest of a 24-year-old illegal alien, allegedly a top lieutenant in the MS-13 gang. The man taken into custody in Woodbridge, Virginia, not far from Washington, D.C. An appeals court is upholding a judge's order requiring the Trump administration to rehire thousands of federal workers who had been laid off. It's a mixed picture on Wall Street. The Dow is down about 53 points, while the Nasdaq trading 24 points higher. The S&P is up 6 points. More details at srnnews.com.
Attention hunters, outdoor enthusiasts, and sportsmen. The Sassafras River Ducks Unlimited and Galena Volunteer Fire Company present the third annual Sportsman's Bash. Saturday, April 12th at 90 East Cross Street, Galena, Maryland. Doors open at 11:30 a.m. with 28 prizes on the main ticket, 50-50 cash prizes, assorted gun raffle tables, and more. Enjoy raw oysters, pit beef, mac and cheese, plus cold draft beer and a cash bar. Tickets to attend are just $65. Raffle only tickets just $35. Both types of tickets also get you a one-year membership to Ducks Unlimited. You don't have to be present to win. Get your tickets now. www.ducks.org/Maryland #events. That's www.ducks.org/Maryland #events. See you there. Now, Gary Stein on sports.
Oriole fans have been waiting almost 6 months for a meaningful baseball game, and the wait ends today. Orioles and Jays from Toronto this afternoon, 3:07 p.m. Zach Eflin takes on Jose Berrios. Jackson Holliday will start at shortstop for the Birds. Gunnar Henderson at least a week away. Meanwhile, Maryland basketball fans have been waiting a week for a meaningful game, and they get that tonight at 7:39 p.m. when the Terps take on Florida in the Sweet 16. It's the biggest game in at least a decade for the Terps. It's the biggest in Kevin Willard's coaching career. And finally, a shout-out to the Baltimore Touchdown Club, hosting the 27th annual Super 22 Award Banquet last night. Over 200 people were there honoring the top 50 high school football rising seniors in the state of Maryland. Each of the 50 introduced in their school jersey and pads, receiving a plaque. Special guest was Ravens Super Bowl champion Jermaine Lewis, giving us some great Tony Siragusa stories. May he rest in peace. Keynote speaker was Gilman School's Darius Jennings, who played in the NFL for 7 years. A big thank you to Scott Ripley, Doug Duvall, and everyone involved. It's the Baltimore Touchdown Club, champions of high school football in the state of Maryland. Coming up in 30 minutes, The Dish from Grayson Rodriguez. And that is Stein on Sports.
My name's Danny Manoff, and I am the president and CEO of Intrepid Paralegal Solutions, LLC. We're a unique company that helps attorneys run their practices more efficiently as certified Clio partners. And more importantly, we also help the average person that can't afford or doesn't want to use an attorney to deal with their legal issues. If you're a pro se litigant, we always feel you should seek counsel, but if you want to proceed with the help of experts, please be in touch. IPSvirtual.com. Thank you again.
A dose of springtime today and tomorrow, and then it's like a brief dose of summer Saturday. Temperatures about 20 degrees warmer than what they are today. Not much rain to slow you down this week. 60 this afternoon, near 40 overnight. Tomorrow, we may see a few showers in the afternoon. It's not a washout. 67. Saturday's dry, but very warm. 82 Saturday. I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Rapid Radios are instant push-to-talk walkie-talkies, offering national LTE coverage and no subscription ever. Business owners can now keep in touch with up to 200 staff members at one time. Go to rapidradios.com now for up to 60% off and free shipping.
Rod Barrowy here for the Safe Retirement Solutions team. God bless America. God bless Donald Trump. God bless all of the listeners here at WCBM. Well, Doge is kicking ass. And how would you like to have a retirement plan that can kick ass? Do you want guarantees in retirement? How about guaranteed lifetime income for you and your spouse? Call us at 410-266-1120, 410-266-1120.
Our financial system is cracking under pressure. Your retirement is at risk. Take control now. Lear Capital is offering a free Sky High Silver Report and Precious Metals IRA Guide at betternestegg.com. Don't leave your future to change. Go to betternestegg.com.
Hey everybody, Charlie Kirk here. Insightful news, commentary, the best guests you can imagine, and also we are diving deep into the issues that matter, the philosophy that is guiding the left, what you can do about it so we can fight to win. So join us every single day where we talk about why the Constitution is the greatest political document ever written, why America is the greatest nation ever to exist, and what the citizen can do to rise against the regime.
The Charlie Kirk Show, weeknights at 7 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Hartford County.
All right, so we had a lot to talk about this morning in regards to what's going on in Annapolis. And I am very pleased to be joined right now by a friend of ours, but also a delegate trying his best to fight back in Annapolis, Delegate Nino Mangione. Good morning, Delegate. How are you?
Kim, good morning. I am, well, it's been better, but we're trying to hang in there and get through this session. It is tough. The last couple of days have been very tough for the state of Maryland. But we, as Republicans, we are in the minority here, as you're well aware. I have to give a lot of credit. I mean, we were up there for hours trying to make our pitch as to why this is a terrible, terrible deal for the state. And I'll just get, let me get right into it here, Kim. I mean, Governor Moore and the Democrats, this is a financial calamity, what they put forth. And it was them. Yes, there was a minority of Republicans here, but they created this mess. They've blown through this multi-billion-dollar surplus. Just last year, we made this point. You covered it on your show last year, that there was 338 taxes and fees that were raised. Now, and let's not forget, they dipped in to the rainy day fund. They spent more money. They ignored our budget analysts for years. And let's look, let's now fast forward to this week, right? What are the Democrat accomplishments? Well, number one, they imposed yesterday the largest tax increase on our citizens in Maryland's history, $1.6 billion of new taxes. Remember, when they make these arguments, these are new taxes. It's not as if the tax burden just goes or starts from scratch or certain ones are going away. No, no, no. This is $1.6 billion of new taxes. They literally ran this week a Maryland business out of our state to Virginia, but not just any business. The Democrats, with their new IT tax, made this employer close his Maryland business and go to Virginia. And who was that? Well, that is the Maryland Democrat delegate, Brian Crosby, who is the vice chair. He is the vice chair, a very powerful Democrat in this state, who is picking up and leaving his small business. And don't be surprised if there's others that follow there, Kim. And this tax, this IT tax, will affect more than 12,000 businesses in Maryland, and God knows how many more are going to leave. And then they look at some of the other things that they did. I mean, they shifted mandates. Is it a cut? Is it a $100 million cut to shift the mandate from the state to local governments? I don't call that a cut. I mean, it's just passing the buck, really. So this means higher taxes for local taxpayers because of it's just an accounting shell game by the governor, by the majority here, to hide basically their money grab. So they further, I mean, they're not depleting from the rainy day fund, but they're not putting in $400 some million in this budget. They're calling that a cut that they would have put in the rainy day fund. They're not putting it in the rainy day fund. So as Delegate Shalega said, it's certainly raining in Maryland right now. So, Kim, it was a difficult day yesterday. We fought a lot. We fought it for hours in the last two sessions, but unfortunately, like I said, the largest tax increase in Maryland's history passed the House of Delegates in Maryland yesterday.
Well, we saw it all happening, Delegate. Again, we're speaking to Delegate Nino Mangione, taking his time to be with us this morning. And I did read your press release yesterday. You gave a phenomenal speech on the floor. And I know that you voted no against it. And I know that there were so many amendments that were introduced that were just shot down by your Democrat colleagues. Delegate, we also saw where, you know, I guess it was somewhat of a gaggle, I guess you could say, not really an interview, but Delegate Vanessa Atterbury out of Howard County. She was speaking to Chris Pass from Fox 45's Project Baltimore, and it was in regard to a bill. There were two bills there, but one of the bills I know that you introduced, House Bill 68, if you could just walk the audience through what that bill would have done in our public schools.
Actually, Kim, I'm glad you asked about that, because what that bill, we worked very hard on that bill. We actually worked with the mother of the victim that caused this after the reports from Fox Baltimore that exposed the fact that this Walter Martinez, the worst of the worst, brutally raped and murdered a young girl in Harford County, Kayla Hamilton. And shockingly, he ended up not in one, but two public schools in the state of Maryland as the main suspect for that brutal rape and murder. And we put forth a bill to try to work out the kinks to make sure that something like that could never happen again if you're being investigated for these crimes of violence or if you've been convicted of a crime of violence. And my understanding is we put forth two bills, and Delegate Griffith put forth a separate bill of Harford County. And what we were told in that report, it looked like last night that I saw from Chris Papps on Fox 45, is that this is unconstitutional, or that our bills were unconstitutional. Well, I have a ruling here from the Attorney General, and to their credit, they were very responsive, and they straight up say they could not deem these bills unconstitutional.
Wow.
So we should go, they tried to make it, as you I'm sure saw in the reports, some measures for trying to do reporting for kids, or students, I should say, that are being suspects of, or that committed certain acts. But this bill would have went way further. It was this is something that would have absolutely stopped something from Walter Martinez ever happening again. And she said on the report that it was unconstitutional. And what we're seeing here from the Attorney General's response is that he cannot deem it unconstitutional. So very disappointing that that bill, and we pledge to bring it back and try to work. I mean, this is why we have legislative analysts. This is why we have tons of lawyers here so we can work out certain stipulations. And when you have the AG saying, no, it's not basically not deeming it unconstitutional, we should have went as far as possible to ensure the safety of these students. It was not taking away their right to an education, which is state law. It was taking away their right to an education in person if they were the main suspect of a violent crime. So unfortunately, that bill was shelved. It was not even brought to a vote. Very disappointing.
Yeah, and that's the part I noted this morning, Delegate, is that she didn't even let it out of the House Ways and Means Committee, which I thought was interesting because, like you said, it wasn't unconstitutional. You could do virtual learning, as we saw during the COVID pandemic. And I believe if it would have made it to the floor, that would have been debated. Do you feel the same way?
Oh, 100%. It would have been a very difficult vote for any delegate of either party to say that we're going to say no to this, the no to student safety. No to keeping a potential rapist and murderer out of our schools, especially when we're investing so much money in public education and we're not even going to go willing to go the distance with every single measure for safety, for student safety. So, yeah, I think it would have been heavily debated on the floor. I think that we have legal experts down here, legal analysts, I should say, to make sure that we're correct when we say something's unconstitutional or deem it unconstitutional. And this was not concluded to be unconstitutional by the Attorney General. So why we didn't go further is, I think, very, very disappointing.
Yeah, well, I'm wondering, Delegate, if there are any repercussions or, I should say, consequences for deeming something unconstitutional when it was not and not allowing it out of committee. Do you know if there are any consequences to that? Because I would think that there should be something on the books.
I don't think so. I think that's just maybe something politically where people are upset. I don't think there's any actual repercussion. And whether it's just an honest mistake or whether it's just they wanted to avoid it, because believe it or not, actually, Kim, I want to make a good point here. Tons of advocates against this. When we put forth a bill, there's testimony on both sides for and against. And I'm thinking, all right, well, we got the mother of the victim. I mean, this is a murder victim who's going to come speak and support our bill. And I'm thinking, okay, well, who's really going to be against it? And if there is a technicality, a legal technicality, then, you know, we'll try to work that out with our analysts here. But then I see the scores of opposition. I wish I had it in front of me, but from the public defenders, of course, from the Bar Association, all these legal so-called experts on the other side sitting there, and some advocates, mind you, some of these public education advocates advocating on behalf of a rapist or a man who ultimately was ended up now sentenced basically to life in prison, who was walking around the schools. It was unbelievable. I couldn't believe that they would show up in droves against a bill like this. Incredible. And they weren't saying, let's figure out how to work. Many of them, I should say, weren't saying, well, let's figure out how to work the kinks or work out this together and make sure we go as far as possible for student safety. That's not what they were saying. It was unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Delegate Nino Mangione, I know that you're fighting hard, and hopefully you are able to be successful with that bill next session. And it's sad that this has to go to another session when you would think that it would have passed this time around, which, of course, makes more work for you. So I'm sorry about that as well. Also, Delegate, before you go, I wanted to ask you about the Maryland Piedmont Reliability Project. You had Joanne Frederick. She is the president of Stop MPRP. She sat down with Mackenzie Frost yesterday for an hour-long town hall. And she did mention that she would love to see some more support from Governor Wes Moore. I know that you've been involved in this from the very beginning because you do care about those farmers and all those that would be disrupted by these transmission lines. I wanted to ask you, has anything moved further with MPRP, whether it's from, you know, the transmission companies, or have you heard more from the governor on this?
So we have not heard anything else from the governor on this. It's in that in the Public Service Commission process, basically. We put forth a number of bills. Unfortunately, they didn't go as far as we would like. There's going to be some information and some studies done to figure out, like I said, I mean, did not go enough, but everybody from the Stop NPRP and myself, we supported it. We want to learn more about this going forward. In terms of this Maryland Piedmont Reliability Project, I am 100% against this needless project. As you said, it's a disgrace that this is even potentially going to happen. Hopefully we can stop it. The fact that it's going to rip through my constituents, the great people of North Baltimore County's property, the fact that the farms, prime farmland could be destroyed. I mean, there are so many negatives to this project, yet it just seems like it's steamrolling through in this rush timeline from an out-of-state company. In terms of what happened this session, there is some work. I mean, it's nowhere near as far as we tried to go to stop this, but there is, I guess you could say, progress for the long term. But in terms of Piedmont and stopping that, I would say no, nothing was done, unfortunately. Some of the things we had put forth to at least try to help farmers get in the eminent domain process, a lot of that was shot down. There's an energy packet that the Democrats put forth. We'll see the final product there in the next couple, in the next week or so. But yeah, unfortunately, the Maryland Piedmont Reliability Project, it's in the Public Service Commission process, and we're hoping that they'll be denied permits.
Yeah, I mean, we're all praying for that. I mean, this is, like you said, it's senseless. I don't, you know, we're going to be powering Virginia. It's not even going to help us here in the state of Maryland. And it's just going to do so much damage. It's heartbreaking to even know that this is still being considered, obviously. Delegate Nino Mangione, before you go, you know, the big question of the day, I can ask you this question, because, of course, just yesterday, the budget was advanced through the House there. Do you think that the state Senate would pass this budget as is, or do you see some amendments coming?
The really good question, yes, the question of the day is how they deal with the Kerwin bill. I mean, they sat up there in, what, Thursday of last week. It was the Senate president, it was the House leadership and the speaker and the governor. And I guess they presented themselves as if they were in unison here, but then we're seeing that the Kerwin spending could be, that's a real big question there. Will the Kerwin spending, the governor's bill, to halt, I should say, or to pause for, I believe it was 4 years. That's the real question here in terms of some of the money that's going to be spent in Maryland or in hundreds of millions of dollars. So what the Senate's going to do, I really can't answer that. It's a great question. They seem like they were in unison the other day. The IT tax is certainly coming. I mean, the Senate president was one of the main drivers behind that. Are they going to stick with the vending machine tax? And I have to assume they will, but I can't answer what the Senate's going to do. There's lots and lots of taxes on here. If we had more time, maybe after the session, we can join again. But, I mean, everything from, you know, higher income tax levels for some of the higher earners to, like I said, vending machine tax. I mean, vending machine, it's ridiculous. You have vehicle excise tax increasing.
Yeah, yeah.
You have emissions fees, that ridiculous emissions fee. Now that cars are so much more efficient for the environment, yet they're doubling that tax, rental car tax. They're adding, you name it. Like I said, the IT tax, I mean, that's $500 million right there. How many of these taxes they stick with? I would imagine a lot of them.
Yeah, yeah, that is disappointing. You got even the cannabis tax, I think, is going up as
cannabis
well.
Cannabis tax,
sports gambling. Yeah, it's everything, basically. It's everything.
Yeah, I mean, it's lots of them, including, like gold and silver.
Oh, right.
Gold bullion. Unless it's bought at the convention center, the Baltimore City Convention Center, I guess when they have maybe some big event, they're repealing the exemption on the sales of those precious metals and coins and whatnot. They're even increasing what the maximum local income tax rate can be. So they want every last penny they can get.
Yeah.
And they're coming for it.
And that's the part that's really sad. Before I let you go, Delegate, I got a question here from Susan in the text line. She said, please ask Delegate Nino Mangione if it's possible that areas are being scoped out by airplane or helicopter for NPRP. She says, we are in Westminster and a green and white helicopter has been flying almost daily from north to south. Do you know anything about that one, Delegate?
I do not know that. I believe that Carroll County, the commissioners there, and I can find out from my friend Commissioner Kyler, I know that they said something along the lines of, you know, you don't have the right to come on Carroll County's public property that's owned by the county.
Right.
But in terms of a helicopter, I just don't know the answer to that, unfortunately. I'll see what I can find out.
Yeah. Well, thank you, as always, for everything that you do, Delegate. And I don't envy your job there in Annapolis, but you're
thank
up
you,
there.
Thank you, Kim. And I appreciate you having me on. Thanks for all your great work.
No, thank you, Delegate. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you. And again, that was Delegate Nino Mangione. Always does a great job. You know, he's like he's a natural on the radio. I don't know how does he do it? No, he's great. He is great. And it's so unfortunate because, like, you know, all the Republicans in Annapolis, they're in the minority. And it is so difficult to have this fight. But I will say, this whole thing about Vanessa Atterbury, the delegate from Howard County, rejecting House Bill 68 and, of course, the other bill that Mike Griffith brought forth, and then finding out that it was not unconstitutional. And so that bothers me a lot. And I will say it bothers me a lot because if they really truly wanted to, couldn't they use that excuse for every Republican bill that's proposed? They could say that for any bill. They could say, hey, you know what? It's in my committee and I'm looking at it and it looks to me that it's unconstitutional. So we're not going to let it hit the floor for vote. You could literally say that for any bill at this point. That's why I said, is there not any repercussions or consequences for saying it's unconstitutional and shooting it down before? I would think that there should be something. Otherwise, why wouldn't they do this to every Republican bill? And if there's no consequence to this, and it in fact is not unconstitutional, like Delegate said, I don't think it is, could this set a dangerous precedent? We'll discuss more when we get back.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down. Get it going slower.
Izervay is proven to slow GA progression.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Izervay or Avacincaptad Captain Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com.
Paid for by Astellas Pharma.
Are you looking for weekly updates about the economy, the stock market, or hearing about wealth planning topics? If so, tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 9:20 a.m. for the Morning Market Flash featuring Tim Herb, Senior Vice President and Financial Advisor at RBC Wealth Management. For immediate questions, call us at 855-360-VIEW. That's 855-360-VIEW. RBC Wealth Management, a division of RBC Capital Markets, LLC, registered investment advisor and member NYSE FINRA SIPC.
If better health, more energy, and detoxifying your body are some of your priorities this year, get Active Liver today. You can find Active Liver in stores at your local CVS or online at Amazon or NewNordicUSA.com.
The Rob Carson Show.
Hey guys, it's Carson. Thursday on the show, several prominent Jewish groups say Hamas is collaborating with radical students and faculty at Columbia University and may have known about the October 7th attacks ahead of time. Does this surprise anyone? Of course not.
Hello? are you threatening me?
Beaver? We may have found your dad.
The Rob Carson Show, weekdays noon to 3 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right. That was Delegate Nino Mangione. And like I said, I don't envy their jobs there in Annapolis. And, you know, hopefully our friend Glenn Gilfar, running in District 8, hopefully he'll end up there. You know, it's tough because you look at all of these Republicans that we have that are truly fighting for us, and it's so hard for their bills to make it out. Meanwhile, it's common sense. Common sense to want to protect students in the classroom. All right, I mentioned earlier that President Trump had a very controversial endorsement yesterday. He endorsed Lindsey Graham out of South Carolina for re-election. Well, it is dividing Republicans on social media. If you can imagine, not many America First Republicans like Lindsey Graham. And you know what? I don't think I really had an opinion on Lindsey Graham. And not just because he's in South Carolina and he's a Republican. I would say years ago, I saw him kind of as Kevin McCarthy's lackey, if that makes sense. But I never had a solid opinion on him because he didn't, in my view, I don't think he ever took really a solid stance. He kind of just goes with what's trending, what's popular. And I have noticed that about him. He was also real buddy-buddy with Paul Ryan, remember when he was a speaker. But I always took it as, because he was even buddy-buddy with John Boehner when he was a speaker. I always took it as he just wanted to be, you know, the next guy in line. Kind of like, you know, oh yeah, I'm with the big dog over here. So to me, he just seemed to get real buddy-buddy with each speaker. I will say when it comes to Mike Johnson, he doesn't seem to be real buddy-buddy with him. But I will say, I'll give Mike Johnson some credit. It doesn't seem like he's been buddy-buddy with anybody, which is key to be a good speaker. Because the last thing you want is your speaker to be besties with certain Republicans, because then they kind of get together as a crew, and then they're kind of running what goes on, you know, on the floor. And that's the last thing you want. Speaker Johnson was there at the Women's History event yesterday. He didn't speak or anything, but he was there basically just, you know, saying hello to everybody, and he was allowing women to come up and talk to him. Now that I say it out loud, it's kind of... Why was he there? Yeah, but no, he's very religious, and trust me, it's, yeah, he makes sure he looks down at the floor at all times. He's kind of like Mike Pence in a way on that one. All right, we're going to thank Delegate Nino Mangione and Delegate Brian Chisholm for joining us today. Of course, we got lots to talk about tomorrow. Brian, as always, thank you for a great show. If you want to take part in the poll, it's still there at WCBM.com. Please do so, and I'll talk to all of you tomorrow at 9 a.m.
Hi, it's Bruce Elliott. Tim Kyle Electric is now Tim Kyle Electric Heating and Cooling. Now, for years, they've been a trusted name in the electrical industry, serving residential and commercial clients with excellence and dedication. And now they're proud.